May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're back to reforming faith. Back to this idea that we are reforming and evolving as God's people, that we are transforming with the purpose of God's abundant life. If only it were so easy as it was for Jonah. 40 more days and Nineveh shall fall. Oh, I guess it's time to change. That seems simple enough, right? That's how God works with you, right? You hear one simple word, and then change just immediately follows. I wouldn't quite own that for myself. I think it's a little more difficult for most of us. Because you see, before we reform, we must receive. Today's focus is receiving, because we talk about reforming, we talk about transforming, we talk about evolving. And that's good stuff. That's necessary stuff. That's part of the Christian life. But that's us stuff. The first stuff is God stuff. God as the primary actor. We can only act because God acts first. So for the semester of focusing on reforming and evolving faith, we must first focus on who God is as an actor for us, what God does for us. We can't underestimate the importance of this order. This is, in fact, a large reason why Christians fight about the nature of salvation, because the order matters. When I was a kid, I was a sixth grader, I believe I was in Mrs. Marr's class. We took this test. She handed it out, and for about 20 minutes, I went through, circled all the right answers, so I thought, turned it in. She graded them right there and handed them back to us. And on my paper, as a supposedly smart child, was that feared red F. I looked again at the answers. I had circled what I was certain we had studied. These were the right things. So I asked, Mrs. Marr, what's the deal here? Why is this not the grade I thought I was supposed to get? And she said, did you read the directions? So I read the directions, which said, do nothing else, write your name on the paper, and hand it in. It was a teaching lesson. I didn't actually get an F in my book. But it was a reminder that directions help us do assignments right. I had to receive those directions in order to do the assignment well. And I didn't do that, and so I realized order matters for the upcoming tests of your lives, the GREs and the other graduate preparatory things. Maybe read the directions. Because as we receive what we're supposed to do, or what the intended purpose of this thing is, we can actually better participate in it. God is the first thing we need to attend to in our Christian life. So often, I feel like I walked through much of my faith in ways I thought, like, this makes sense. This is the right thing to do, without ever listening for God's voice in Scripture, God's voice from my sisters and brothers, God's voice from tradition, God's voice from anywhere other than my own very limited mindset. I wasn't willing to receive God, much less was I looking to receive God in any particular way. It's also important, though, to think about receiving in different ways, right? We don't receive all things the same way. Directions for a test or instructions for a task are simple, right? Do something this way. You might trial and error it out a little bit, but eventually you get there. Do it this way. Okay, I can get that. Receiving an education here at Capital, at Trinity, it's a bit more complex because of the amount of data, the amount of disciplines, the different teachers, the different methods, the different paradigms, the different skills that we're supposed to garner. But at the end of the day, it's still an imposition. I have something to give you, to teach you, to help you learn to do. Other things are much more simple and yet more difficult. The simple fact of taking a breath, How often do we receive breath without actually willing to receive breath? You've probably taken 1,000 breaths since you walked into this room without actually trying to breathe. Something in that reptilian brain of ours, the instincts, that construction of our body, gives us breath. We receive from our creation breath and blood in our veins, the firing of neurons, not because we try to, but because we are designed that way. And then there are things that are entirely out of our control. Conception and birth are chief among them. Conception comes from somebody else's relationship, and birth comes from the body of our mother. The idea that we cannot control these things, and yet we receive them. We had to receive them in order to be here somehow. We did nothing to will our own birth. The first memory I have is probably 3 or 4 years old. It's pretty young. It's of my dog as they were building our house. That's over 1,000 days after I came into existence. And I willed none of it. We receive things in all sorts of different ways. So it's fitting then to ask, how do we receive God? I think we receive God in something like these ways and many more. Sometimes we receive God as instructions given, as words offered to us. Simple, come and follow me. So they get up out of their boats and go. Or to Jonah, come, go to Nineveh. Let me run. Come, go to Nineveh. No, seriously, you don't want to be swallowed by a fish. No, come. Okay, finally he goes, right? It's a few times. Sometimes it's just those words of instruction. Other times it's like the air that we breathe. That's the value, I think, of worship, of tradition, of being a part of a faith community. It's instilled in us how to listen for God, even if we aren't overtly thinking about how to listen for God. God's Spirit breathed into us at creation, in baptism flowing through us. These are things that are somewhat innate, and yet still call for us to think through, how does that work? I can control my breathing if I try. And I can even try to stop my breathing for a while. But eventually, I need to breathe. I can't control it all the way. And then some things are like birth, like conception. Our existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before you were, I knew every hair on your head. The way that we are created and the way that we are recreated in the new gift of abundant life, those are things that we can't control, that we can't choose. But it's because of those things, it's because of how God acts for us and in us, that we can then live life, that we can then make choices, that we can then act in something like a Christ-like way. Birth and new birth are the things that we receive from God that make all of this possible. Our reforming, evolving faith is built upon this framework of God's primary action. Without that call to salvation, without that call to new life, we'd have no direction for reform and no reason to evolve. We might, like Jonah, try to stop breathing. We might, like Jonah, try to turn the other way and go. But the most important part of this story is that God will not stop offering. God calls Jonah again. God does not let the Ninevites' future depend on Jonah's first obstinance. Your failure to receive once will not determine God's will to offer you something wonderful yet again. And in fact, in Christ, we know that the offer has been made once and for all, meaningfully and forever. So may we learn to receive God in all of the ways that God shows up. And may we seek to breathe deeply the air that God gives us in all of the places that God leads us. Amen.